We go to the fan hotline. Scott Petrek joining us as he's getting ready to go to practice today, or at practice, or getting ready to cover practice. Players will be speaking at 11:30. Scott, hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I'm good. Mike just said, if you have the talent to go number two, you know, you should do this. Everybody needs to remember, Shador didn't go number two. Can I just throw that out there? He didn't go number two. Yeah. So he clearly didn't have number two talent. Doesn't mean he can't succeed in the league and be great, but let's just remember what's going on here.
That's fair. And I think his talent was somewhere between number two and the fifth round. And I think you can make an argument that it was closer to number two.
Might have been.
Maybe the second round, right? Maybe second round talent. But that's not the reality. And he wasn't a number two pick. And even if you're taking the second round, then there's questions about if you can make it in the NFL, right? If you can be a big-time starter. It's different when you get outside of the top 10, top 15, even sometimes the top five. So, Shador, we don't know. He's got to prove it. I've seen some good things from him, but I think it's a long way to go.
All right, Scott, how do things play out with Kenny Pickett now scheduled to miss this week after a hamstring injury? How do you think things will play out for the quarterback this week, quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they divide these reps because, you know, if you're Kevin Stefanski, you could just say, hey, Joe Flacco's going to get all the first team or the majority of the first team and kind of proceed as if Joe's going to be your guy. That doesn't mean you give him the job, but can start to get him ready for the season because he hasn't been getting a full allotment of repetitions as they try to split him up between four guys. You could do that. I don't think they will. I think they'll probably keep dividing them pretty equally among the three. And what I think is going to be fascinating to see is if without Kenny Pickett, does Shador Sanders finally get some work with the ones? And that's with the first team offense and against the first team defense. We haven't seen it yet through OTAs, through minicamp, and through four practices of the training camp. And this could be the thing that changes it. I don't know if it will, but it'd be interesting to see how Shador fares. And again, I think it's a long shot to be ready by week one, to be your starter. I think there's still plenty of things that he has to work on. But it would be interesting to see him go against the ones because we haven't. We've seen him mostly, almost exclusively, going against the threes and the fours.
We have seen Dillon Gabriel a little bit against the ones. I think this might be a better opportunity for him than anybody else.
Yeah, I think you could be right, Jeff. Does he all of a sudden get those Kenny Pickett number one reps? And you say, hey, is this rookie ready? Because it's a big question. Not only when you talk about who could be the starter week one, but whether or not they keep four quarterbacks, I think, is dependent on if you think one of the rookies can be your number two week one.
Right.
So if you don't, then you got to keep four because you need the veteran backup in case whoever's starting gets hurt against the Bengals, and you don't want to put the rookie in there. But if Dillon Gabriel, or it could be Shador Sanders, but I think it would fall on Dillon Gabriel first, if he shows that they think he is ready to be that number two, then it gives you some flexibility. It means you could trade one of the quarterbacks if there's an offer. You could cut one and save a roster spot. So, yeah, I think that's right. And I think Dillon Gabriel will probably get more of those first-team reps if they just don't give him all to Joe. And it'll be interesting because I don't think he's had a great training camp to this point, Dillon Gabriel, but maybe with the extra opportunities, he would take advantage of that.
Scott, with the situation there now, how severe do you think, and any feel for how severe the hamstring issue is with Kenny Pickett? Like, is he out a week? Is he out 3 weeks?
Yeah.
1 week means he could still be the starter. 3 weeks to me means he's not the starter.
No, I think that's a great point. I don't have a great feel for that. I watched him practice the entire practice Saturday. His last play, he moved out to the right and made a touchdown throw. I talked to Greg Newsome after practice, and he was raving about that particular play and Kenny Pickett on that play. So I don't know when that happened. Hamstrings can be fickle. And you're right. And the other thing about this, Jeff, is one of the things the Browns really like about Kenny Pickett is the ability for him to make off-schedule plays. And, one of his better plays in camp has been a scramble up the middle where he saw the pocket kind of, caving, and he found a seam up the middle and took off. And it was a long run, and it felt like it's hard, you know, without pads and there's no tackling. But it felt like that was a legitimate scramble. And in a game, he would have gained significant yards. And if he's limited by the hamstring, however long it takes, I think that robs him of one of the strengths and one of the things that is a separator between him and Flacco. So this injury is just not good for a guy determined to win the starting job. Kenny Pickett having his hamstring injury, missing any time, but then possibly being slowed moving forward, that's bad for Kenny in his quest to win this job.
Scott, what's the most important thing you found out last week at camp?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Most important thing I found out at camp.
Where the water is.
Most meaningful.
Yeah, right. How about that? We don't know for sure what's going to go on with Quinshon Judkins. So, you know, we didn't find it out, but, you know, I think that looms over everything that this team is doing. And we don't know when he's going to be back, if he's going to be back. You know, Andrew Berry did not, you know, said it's too early to go there. Didn't want to talk in hypotheticals. But, you know, it's a big deal. And we've talked about it because they counted on him, because they're going to run the ball so much. Jerome Ford is not healthy right now. So not knowing about Quinshon Judkins and it still being huge question mark and huge uncertainty, I think it might be the biggest takeaway from the first 4 days of camp.
Scott, the scary thing to me, the quarterback who many people think could have emerged as the starting quarterback and still might is out right now. The clear-cut number one running back going into this thing is out right now. And one of your three wide receivers who you thought would start was injured but appears to be okay. Man, if there's a team that can't afford injuries at three spots and they just had injuries or a situation at three spots, it's the Browns. And I wonder, you know, if Pickett's not there and Judkins isn't there, man, my fingers are crossed that somebody else steps up or that this is going to work out all right.
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate point, Jeff. Now, you know, if you're not a Kenny Pickett fan, you could probably say, okay, that's no big deal, and maybe it opens the door for Joe.
Sure.
Or Dylan Gabriel, right? Like, you can make that argument. But I think with the other two positions, you're 100% right. And it looks like Tillman's going to be okay, but, you know, Mike Woods is not able to. His hand was in some kind of wrap / brace when I saw him the other day. And they don't have much depth there, and I think they're counting on Mike Woods the second to be part of this receiver group. So, you're right. They, you know, for a team that's got some depth issues at some key spots, the injuries and circumstances have come at bad spots for sure.
Anything other than that, did anybody jump off the page that you didn't expect to jump off the page last week? And I know let's wait till pads, but there's still sometimes I'm still wondering about certain guys, but I want to hear from you.
Yeah, I mean, I thought. And I'm working on a story. I thought Greg Newsome, he's looked good.
Okay.
Last year he missed all of camp with that hamstring surgery. He's been taking reps at the number two corner spot ahead of Martin Emerson Jr. So he's been outside, and that's something that's important to Greg, that he's not just viewed as a slot corner. I think Harold Fannin Jr., who showed up, and they need him to. When you talk about the questions at receiver, you need your tight ends. You need both tight ends to come up big in the passing game. And I've seen some stuff out of the rookie tight end. I think Carson Schlesinger, you know, it's hard to see a lot of stuff in these non-padded practices, like you mentioned, but I saw a tip pass in the red zone. And what I think is more important and maybe even impressive is he's out there all the time with the first team defense. And, you know, part of that's because, you know, JOK is done for the season and Jordan Hicks retired. But they feel comfortable. He's got the green dot. He's calling defensive plays. And everyone you talk to, whether it's coaches or veterans on this team, unsolicited, bring up Schlesinger. So I think that's a really good sign.
Is that just normally a linebacker's job? Or are we that impressed with this rookie that this guy can call the plays?
Well, it's a linebacker's job, but it's, you know, they got three linebackers out there some of the time, right? So.
Right.
For them to give him the responsibility over Diabati or over a Bush, or even, you know, Grant Delpit the other day said, hey, I could do that. And he can. And maybe there's a chance that they wind up giving it to Delpit. Or you know, if Schlesinger doesn't play in nickel packages, that they, you know, if they go with Delpit to be the signal caller. But the fact that they're at least trying this rookie out of the gate in that responsibility, I think it just shows you how smart they think he is.
Scott, last thought. You mentioned the name I was going to ask you about. The Jordan Hicks retirement catch the team by surprise, and has it put them in a bind?
I would say yes and yes. They did not have advance notice before the start of camp. I think it was a surprise to them. And then, you know, once a guy's considering retirement, he's probably going to retire. You know, we've heard that a million times. So I think that's legitimate. They were surprised. Now, I think it's a loss for them not having Jordan Hicks. I mean, he played well last year. He was productive from a tackle standpoint. Good leader in a locker room. Like, they're going to miss a lot of things about Jordan Hicks. The only caveat I would say is, when I was thinking about the linebacker position heading into camp and assuming Hicks would be here, I thought, man, is this a guy that could lose playing time to some of these young guys? And I'm not saying he would have.
Like Diabate, by chance?
Like Diabate. Right? Yeah, like Diabate. Like Schlesinger. You know, you got Winston Reed. You got Nathaniel Watson, the sixth-round pick a year ago. Like, there's a lot of young guys there where if Hicks had lost a step this year, they thought there was an opening for these guys. So now, if Diabate's not, you know, as good as they think, and they liked him, the coaches like Diabate, then, yeah, it's a big loss. But if one of these young guys steps up like they need to across the roster, then obviously it's less of a blow. But right now, it's significant. You're missing your two best linebackers from a year ago, JOK and Hicks.
Scott, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, fellas.